You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
We already have is merely a physical life. And you know how futile it is. Foolishness persists in this world. We mean so well, we try so hard. And look what happens. We only muddle into muddle. This is our plight. We are unable to manage life right in our own strength. We are slaves to our own ways. We all suffer from the grim disease of sin and live in unnecessary poverty. We stumble with uncertain feet and get muddied by many a fall. Luther once said, "If I were as our Lord God, and these vile people were as disobedient as they now be, I would knock the world in pieces." There must be more to life. And there is. Real life comes to us because of God's love. For God so loved the world that He gave. We talk a lot about love. We say it makes the world go round. If that's really the case, then this planet of ours should have stopped spinning long ago, since it seems that men have for some years now forgotten to practice the love which they so eloquently preach. Be that as it may, the one thing about human love is that it rests on the shaky basis that its love be returned. We love those who love us. Isn't this the way it very often goes? In good faith, we let our love out. And if it is well received, if those toward whom we direct our affections love us back, then all is well and good. But if we get an indifferent, cold, or even hostile reception for our efforts, we soon snatch our love back and keep it safely within ourselves. Not so the love of God. For God loved the world, not because it loved Him, but despite the fact that it didn't. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the covering for our sins. God shows His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If God's love were to have waited until it was certain to receive a beautiful and warm response, it would never have gone into action. That's what's just so amazing about divine love, that in the person of Christ, it went forth completely unprompted by anything outside of itself, finding its drive, its power, its determination in the hidden wells of God's undeserved mercy, the yearning heart of a Father God who patiently longs for the return of His prodigal son. That's why it is a love of grace, a love that seeks to save those who seek it not, a love that attempts to heal those who desire no physician, a love that persists despite our stubbornness, a love that is faithful despite our faithlessness. Such is the love of God. God so loved the world, not because He needed or expected anything in return, but because He realized how desperately a helpless world needed the power of His love. That's a surprise. The second surprise is that His love is meant for all people. For God so loved the world that He gave. That's another thing about divine love. It isn't choosy. It doesn't skip anyone. It wants to reach out to all, regardless of the color of their skin, their social standing, their educational and cultural achievements, their irky dispositions and repulsive habits, their past, present, or future. As Christians, we possess the love of God. We know Him and trust His gift of love in salvation through Jesus Christ, and we are the channels through which God shows His love to others. Now the question. Do we bear this fact in mind, we who possess this love of God, when we take action to spread it among others? Do we speak of Christ only to those with whom we're reasonably assured of gaining a successful hearing? Or is it our burning desire to share the feast of God's love with any and all whom we can reach? Remember, the Lord hasn't directed the beam of His love only to you and your kind. He intended it for all people. God's love for us moves us to share this love of God with others. It is like the girl who has received a new diamond ring. No matter what she is talking about or who she is talking with, she manages to place the ring in such a position that you just cannot help seeing it. Or it's like the young man who has just bought a new Stingray, and he just has to show it to as many people as possible. So it is with Christ's love and our new life in Him. We want to share it with others. Yes, God loves the world. Let's never forget it. And if we are convinced that God loves everyone and God's Spirit moves within us, then we are directed to sweat a bit more and pray a bit harder that the ripened sheaves of many unbelievers, precious in God's sight, might not rot forever on the field of death because we fail to harvest them into the granary of life. God loves the world. He didn't send Christ because men's miseries compelled them to cry for His mercy, or because the diseased children of men shouted heavenward for a cure to their ills. Far from it. The misery-plagued world did not ask for God's rescue, but rather declared itself His open enemy. Now here's the big surprise. Yet God gave. And notice the gift. It is His only Son. The Son God sent. The Lamb He sacrificed is His only Son, His only Lamb. Not one child from a family of five. Not one lamb from a flock of thousands. When God gave Christ, it was His own bleeding heart He laid on love's altar. This is the heart and core of the Christian religion. And what a glad surprise! Most people figure that the best way to stay alive is to avoid death. But here's a death. The death of God's Son that puts an end to death and brings with it life. We have to understand the Bible's terms here. By death, we do not mean mere physical dying. We mean death with its sting, endless separation from God. By life, we do not refer to eating, drinking, working, sleeping, and having fun. There's nothing wrong with this kind of life, of course. Indeed, God created it and sustains it. But we have reference to the life that is God-breathed. that comes only through the death of the Lamb. That life that never ends because we receive it from the eternal God. The life that gets its nourishment from the Word and expresses itself in power and love. The life that flows from the forgiveness offered on Calvary. God gave His best. It tore His heart out. This life with God becomes ours only through faith. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. There is only one road to heaven, and it isn't the road we have laid out, but the one God has laid for us. And the surprise is that God gives this faith and sustains it by His Word and sacraments and brings it to its completion. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. And so, the circle of divine rescue from evil is complete. The Father loved and gave. The Son was the gift. And the Spirit is the bringer and the keeper of this gift. What a God! What a surprise! Still, there is more. For this life which God gives is something that we have already in this life. He who believes has eternal life. This eternal life is not primarily some far-off event to be realized after death. It is a here and now thing. The life of God is Jesus working in us. As living branches joined by faith to Jesus, the living vine, we already now possess the life that never ends. To be sure, it is imperfect and oft-times defective because of our human frailties and weaknesses. Yet nonetheless, it is there and will one day blossom forth in the full radiancy of its eternal bloom. Everlasting life is God at work in us. A life that finds its ultimate goal, however, in the heaven to which this life in Christ must inevitably bring us. For me to live is Christ. That's everlasting life. Now, do you want to surprise someone? Surprise them with love. This shows that you have the life of God in you. We know, says St. John, that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love remains in death. The life of God expresses itself in a positive living to Jesus by living in love for others. Surprise! 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 We have life now and forever because God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Eternity is far too short to sing our praises to a God like this. Amen.